go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Deep Space High, a podcast where we break down the latest and maybe not so greatest from today's sci-fi TV. I'm Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris. So what do we got in store for today's episode, brother?
Well, we got some interesting topic to start out with. This last week, we actually got the trailer for The Mandalorian.
Yes, we did.
Yes, about time. I'm sure you've seen it.
I have a couple times.
What do you think of it?
It's very interesting. I loved the one scene that they did where, Mando's talking to somebody and looks like an underground fighting facility. And he's like, yeah, the kid goes with me wherever I go. And he's like, yeah, I figure that. So they pull a whole bunch of guns and Baby Yoda like closes his thing. He's like, nope, I know what's about to happen.
Yep.
You kind of get that blackout scene. And then next thing you know, everybody's dead. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah. That was awesome to watch.
That was. I was pissed off at our local news because our local news brought it up and covered it like, oh, The Mandalorian, the new season 2 trailer released, and they showed 5 seconds and then did a voiceover of all the remaining clip of the trailer. I'm like, oh, how disappointing.
Well, but I mean, I watched the trailer and then like 30 or 40 minutes, it might have been later. It might have been a couple hours after I saw the trailer. There was some on the rumor mill that Pedro Pascal, who voices and plays the Mandalorian on set most of the time, there's rumors that he actually walked out on the set about halfway through the season.
Why?
So rumor has it he wanted to have his face seen more in a couple scenes, maybe here and there without the helmet on. And the creators and the Mandalorian team did not want to go that route. So Pascal went to Lucasfilm. Lucasfilm couldn't intervene, so they just suggested that he step away.
Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting that you bring that up, because I remember you brought that up when we were towards the end of season one of The Mandalorian, where why get such a big-name actor to do or play the role when you never see his face, and he's kind of, you know, the actor himself is not really a big component of the show.
Yeah, you're just paying for the voice.
Right.
Essentially. I mean, because they didn't cast Pedro until most of the way through season one anyway, so someone else is in, well, actually, several someone else's are in the suit throughout. I think it's actually like, it's at least two, maybe three body doubles, or, I guess body triples, but, you know, whatever. Throughout season one that are actually in the suit.
Huh.
So it's one of those things where I like Pedro Pascal as an actor, but I question why they went that route. They could have gotten, you know, they could have done a voice only and had someone else in the suit the whole time, and they could have had it their way and never had the drama, if there is drama.
Yeah, I mean, I think they got the drama probably resolved, given that they've already recorded The Mandalorian and finished it, and they've already released the trailers. So I'd imagine that they got it resolved.
So part of it is, you know, it could have, he could have came back and finished a couple more scenes, but I think they ended up finishing season two without him, and there's a scene, or there's a interview with Entertainment Weekly where Jon Favreau, the creator, is like, yeah, there's a, we're doing season two, essentially doing season two a little different, and, you know, there's going to be, we're going to focus on other characters too, so there's going to be episodes that are devoted to other characters, and it'll be more than just The Mandalorian. Probably because of that drama.
Could be, but I'd also imagine they want to incorporate backstory or more backstory into it, try and answer a little bit more questions, give a bit more character development, and probably try to fill time within the storyline like they did that in season one, where they kind of had some episodes that might seem a little you know, unnecessary. That's something that kind of bugged me. So maybe they're trying to do a bit more of that to kind of make up for it.
Could be. It could be one of those things, and it could have been, you know, after he walked out on the set, they had to do some rewrites and they focused on other characters. And I mean, I've even heard a rumor where they talking about writing that Din Djarin, his character, off the show. And I was like, that's unnecessary. It's not like you're writing off Obi-Wan or Mace Windu. You're writing off someone whose face you've never seen. You could just swap them out, get a different voice, say it's a voice modulator upgrade in the helmet, and then call it a day.
Yeah.
You never have to know it's someone else. So I'm hoping they don't just write off the character, because I like the character. And
unless they honestly have more plans for him.
I mean, and they probably do, but I mean, then again, if they don't want the helmet off at all for the next, at least season two, probably season three and four, if there is one, I mean, you don't need Pedro Pascal. And then worst case is you film season three with a body double. You and Pedro, or Lucasfilm and Pedro Pascal, resolved their issues, and he just does the voice for it again.
Yeah, well, you never know with these actors. I mean, these actors, they like their temper tantrums. They're used to getting what they want.
It's one of those things. I mean, yeah, he wants to get things done his way, but it's, I mean, I can see it too, because he's a pretty big name actor in all kinds of movies. Wonder Woman. He was in Game of Thrones. He does a lot of stuff. So I could see why he would want his face, even if it's just one or two scenes a season. But at the same time, I mean,
he should have known what he was kind of getting into when he read the script.
He should have known. And then the creative should have known, hey, we probably could have done this entire series with just body doubles. And if we really wanted to really reveal his face, just get someone semi-big who doesn't mind coming in every now and then can do the voice.
Right.
And that's the thing. I don't think they were up front with Pascal to begin with. I think they said, hey, we got this character. Do you want to do it? He's like, hell yeah, I'll be in Star Wars. You know, push comes to shove. Now he finds out his face is only in it for 5 seconds.
Right. But I mean, so, I don't know.
That's something to watch out for. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean the show will be bad or the season two will be bad. It just, I mean, it's likely it's not going to follow that character. So maybe it's not true. Maybe it is. We'll find out.
I just don't know how they would be able to do that. They kind of made him the focal point of that show. Like, I know we like to talk about Baby Yoda, but, you know, it's called The Mandalorian, not Baby Yoda, for a reason.
Yeah, and there's another thing I heard. It's The Mandalorian, but it didn't specify which Mandalorian. It could follow Din Djarin for a while, then follow someone else for a while, and follow someone else for a while, but
yeah,
we'll see
but,
how
I mean,
it plays out.
It's not 1970s reality TV where they name the show after the guy who's the star of it. You know, it's not like the Dick Van Dyke Show or the Brady Bunch or, you know, shit like that where they name
the Brady Bunch.
Well, it's the Brady family, you know.
You mean like the Andy Griffith Show?
Yeah, the Andy Griffith Show or the, you know, there's a lot of 50s, 60s, okay. 70s shows where they named them after, you know, the actors or whoever would do it. You know, it's.
Well, I get it. I mean, it's just one of those, like I said. The Mandalorian can refer to any Mandalorian. It doesn't have to necessarily be Din Djarin.
Right.
I mean, it's like I said, I hope they get their shit together. And, you know, I like Pedro Pascal as an actor. And maybe they'll work it out for season three. And then they'll just, you know, use the back half of season two to build on other characters and expand in season three. Or maybe with their own spinoff shows. You never know.
Never know. But let's see season two and let's kind of see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more when we cover season two in the coming months. So, yeah, let's get into what we're really here for. And that's more Star Wars. No, I'm just kidding.
You can do it! You can do it all night long!
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it!
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it!
I'm gonna go do it!
No, but we got through episodes 9 and 10 of Altered Carbon, so we kind of finished up season 1.
We did. So today's episode, yes, we are covering 9 and 10. We are wrapping season 1. We are going to talk about these two episodes and give our thoughts on it overall as a season. So I guess we can go ahead and start with episode 9. I mean, I guess it would be weird to start with 10 and then go to 9.
Yeah.
I mean, or backwards.
Kind of. Talk about spoilers.
No, but I like the way 9 starts because it kind of picks up where 8 left off. 8 left off where Ortega fought off all the Rey clones and then met the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's kind of where the episode cuts off. So you think, okay.
Oh, okay. Now that makes so much more sense. That was the scene that I forgot that connects the whole thing. I forgot about the little girl. Now it all makes sense.
And that's why I wanted to bring it up that way. That, in case anyone forgot how it ended, that's how it ended.
I totally forgot. Then again, I was stoned out of my mind last episode. Holy cow.
Well, and it threw me this episode. Because I was like, watching the opening scenes when Ortega stumbles in to, how was the hotel called? I keep wanting to call the Hendrix because that's what it is in the book, but it's the Raven.
Hmm.
So.
Raven. Well, I guess that makes sense. Kind of the Edgar Allan Poe kind of theme.
Exactly.
1860s kind of, or 1870s theme. Brothel, yeah. Western brothel or whatever.
Kind of what it looks like. So that's what they went with. But yeah, it starts with that very interesting scene where you're like, something just doesn't seem right. What happened after she ran into the kid and then made her way to the Raven? I was like, and then it's funny because you see Toc giving her a sponge bath when he finally realizes that Ortega is not Ortega, it's actually his sister, that I guess she was able, yeah, thinking about later in the episode, she was able to clone her, cast into her sleeve, and then, you know, deceive Toc for a little bit.
Yeah, and then she damaged the sleeve or the clone sleeve enough to make it seem like she was in the fight. Like, well, I mean, the actual Lieutenant Ortega was in the fight scene, so she somehow managed to replicate the wounds, so she appears injured and helpless.
Well, yeah, know? That's what I was thinking, because if you think later in the episode, Toc goes and steals the cloning device from previous episodes, and it mimics, I think it takes a scan and just mimics it completely, because if you see on Ortega's shoulder, her right shoulder, you kind of see that kind of starfish pattern where the Ghost Walker had initially clawed her in the elevator of the police station.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when she got her arm replaced. So you see that scar there. So I think that's what it is. They're able to clone the scar. I mean, it's like 100% exact copy paste is exactly what it is for clones.
I'm curious how they get that cloning process down.
Yeah, you find out a little bit more about it, and it's jumping to the episode where, or not the episode, but the scene where Toc goes and steals the cloning device. I think it's, is it Ava or is it, I think it's Mickey, who's the tech guy at the police station. He's like, where did you get all the DNA or all the material to create this clone? Because you can't just create it out of nothing. You're going to have to either replicate synthetic or organic tissue and all that fun stuff in order to create it. So I'm a little curious about how that works.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't know. Cloning's weird. I mean, I guess we can do cloning today, but isn't it we just kind of take the genetic material of, like, we've done it with sheep, right? Like, we, or with pigs, yeah, as well, where we've basically just taken their genetic material and basically grown it, go through the whole life process again to where you just, I'm not entirely sure, like, you just get the material and have it start from scratch to where it's a baby and you raise it the exact same way. It's, yeah, not like putting it in a printer and you get the exact copy of the way you look today. So I'm curious how they do that, how they have managed to do that.
Well, yeah, I think it's 400,000, 500,000, maybe 600,000, 700,000 million years in the future, you know, so they've obviously found a way to protect. Oh, I've been drinking a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. That
million
was,
years, I mean, in the future. Yeah. They should be able,
it's
to
a long that time in the future. So, I mean, so obviously they have the ability, because we see a time jump from when Rey sends the Ghost Walker to kill Ortega's family. And then you see kind of see an interaction between Rey and Kovacs, and you find out that's 18 hours after her family's murder. And that's kind of when it starts with the whole cloning process after that scene. And it's one of those, obviously they're past the point where you have to grow a clone like in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Star Wars, you fertilize an egg or something, and it creates a genetic replica of a person. But here, it seems like you're 3D printing a clone.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a bit more of Star Trek: The Next Generation. I don't know if you remember this episode, but there was one where they talked about cloning. One of the problems that they had was replicated fading, to where you can only make a clone of a clone so many times before the DNA just starts breaking down and becomes unstable. Like, is that kind of what they're doing here? Like, are they making, especially with Rey, because she has so many clones, as we've seen in episode 8, like, is she using the same genetic material, or are they just using clones of the clones of the clones and the clones? And, you know, I don't know if that's an actual thing, replicated fading, but it kind of makes sense if you're constantly making clones of the same people that eventually the DNA will break down.
Well, I remember the episode, and the problem with that episode was they were using the clone DNA to replicate more clones. So it was, yes, there was some sort of disconnect and it was causing all kinds of problems. But if you're able to go directly to the source, so if Rey, you know, takes a vial of blood and they use that to clone her, the first couple copies should be okay. But if you're, you know, down the line, if you're now using, well,
and then another thing is like, if you have all this cloning, then what's the point of like having kids?
By accidents.
Accident. I mean,
it's one of those things where, yeah, clones are great, but in this world, you can't double sleeve, as we see, which takes place later in this episode. You can't have more than one of yourself going at the same time.
Right. Why not?
It's considered illegal. They made it.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, but I mean, like,
granted, you could have probably a clone, but then it would have to have its own identity and its own stack. And
so then
in its own.
Why are the rich motherfuckers getting away with it then?
Because then they can grow clones, let someone maintain them. And then as soon as the other sleeve dies, they take that stack out of the sleeve and just, because the human life in this series is considered like the stack. Once the stack's gone, the life's gone. So you can take that as long as you don't, it's like, say you had I would hate to throw the floppy disk out there, but say you have a floppy disk and that contains the human consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And you take it, put it in one computer, take it out, put it in another computer, you still have the data. But as soon as you copy that onto a second floppy disk and run it into two computers, frowned upon, illegal in accordance to the UN in this show.
Right. So it's basically a form of copyright law.
Not copyright law, just duplicating yourself.
Well, that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. It's a little bit newer than floppy disks, but, LimeWire.
Well, a lot newer.
No, I'm thinking LimeWire, where we used to have to download music illegally onto CDs and burn them onto discs yourself. So it's almost like
law enforcement officers listening, we do not admit to that. It's alleged downloading.
Well, I was barely even alive then, so I couldn't have done it. I just know about it.
True.
But I mean, that's kind of more of what I'm imagining. More it's like illegally downloading it onto a second disk rather than paying.
Yeah, it kind of is. Because then it's like, say, for example, the Dimitri guy at the start of the series who double sleeved himself. You know, one guy can be committing these crimes and then another guy could be committing these crimes. And it's like, who really committed the crimes? You don't really know. So it just becomes a headache.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, or you don't want, you know, 20 people of the essentially the same person running around. What if you had, you know, 20 Ted Bundys?
Well, they didn't, not really doing a great job, or at least the police isn't, when you kind of have that with Rey.
True.
So it's not really working.
True. So, yeah, a little, yeah, good point. On the one note, though, I don't think you ever see two Reys in one scene. It's always her kind of jumping from body to body. And just to rebut your statement.
No, I think you like, do even... see her, because I think there are times where, like, she thinks she's dead. Like, not in episode 9, but in episode 8 when they're in that fight scene, and then it's like she thinks one of them's dead, but they're not. And then they come out from behind, and then another one's still alive, and then... So I think they're in separate sleeves.
Maybe.
Or there's some consciousness. Because remember, I guess we're kind of getting ahead, but... damn, I can't remember what his name was now. I don't know why. Why am I blanking on his name? Jesus Christ.
Because you got high. Because you got high.
I'm actually pretty sober right now. That dinner...
Oh, that's a first.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I ate such a huge fucking dinner, and then I ate Mom's, too. So, and then I chugged a huge beer before, or a full beer after we finished eating, and I was stuffed. So, I got my own food coma right now, not high. Damn, gotcha. What was his name? Not Terry Oshi.
Oh. Oh, Tanaka? Captain Tanaka?
No, not Tanaka. The main character... Novak.
Kovac. Takeshi.
God damn. That was it. Takeshi Kovac. I can't believe I was spacing on that for a second. Kovac clones himself. So we were talking about, or started talking about that earlier. And apparently you can do it to where you can maintain the consciousness of the other clone at the same time.
So what they did, that's more of, you know, for example, you have two computers. And you take the original floppy disk, you copy it onto a new floppy disk, run the program in both computers simultaneously. So, like...
No, I think it's more like the screen sharing, or not necessarily like screen sharing, but where you can remote access another computer, and you can...
No, because
that's almost what it seemed like, wasn't it?
No, at the end of the season, at the end of 10, because they meet up again, you know, the one clone who went off with Miss Bancroft onto Sex Island doesn't have the memories of Kovacs that stayed and fought his sister.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not like screen. Like I said, it's like, so if you take two programs, you copy a program onto a new floppy disk, have both programs running on two different computers, and then you make one set of changes to one, but one set of changes that are completely different than the other floppy disk on another, then you have two totally different memories, essentially.
Right. Yeah, I get it.
So
I get that.
So that's kind of what's going on.
Hmm. Well, if you don't know what a floppy disk is, then you're probably just fucking lost to this entire conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you have how do I explain this? Marvel's Spider-Man downloaded on one PlayStation, and then on another PlayStation, it's the same game, but now you have two different, you know, outcomes on those games.
Yeah.
Make sense?
No, I haven't played the game yet, so.
What? You do.
I get the point, though.
Okay, you get the point.
Yeah.
I know floppy disk is out of touch, and, you know, I would say that explains our age, but we're actually not that old.
No, we're really not. We're the youngest old people you'll probably ever meet.
And I really don't know why floppy disk comes into our minds, but hell, it did. So we're sticking with it.
Yeah. Came into my mind, which is weird because I'm the younger one between us all.
I know, right?
So,
but 9, very interesting episode. I mean, I wish we got some scenes with, I mean, I know it would be really, really irrelevant to the story, but scenes of other talk over there just banging it out on Orgy Island.
Yeah, I kind of wish we kind of saw that. That was... You got an interesting, what would it be? Flash forward, not flash forward, but like vision, dream, or preview of when she was kind of describing it, but you never really saw what actually happened on the island. Kind of wish you'd.
Oh, like a fantasy sequence.
Yeah, that little brief fantasy sequence that they had about when she was explaining it to him.
Yeah, like season or episode 2 or 3 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I like how the two Kovacs decide, you know, who's going to go which way, who's going to go the other, who's going to die, who's going to live. I like how they just play what's got to be given it's got to be the world's longest game of rock, paper, scissors, since two of the same person is playing it, so they know how the other thinks.
Right.
Sure they... Well, I guess they were playing for, like, the right to choose, so whoever won get to choose which one they go to. So the original Kovac picked to fight his sister and let the clone go and fuck on the massive orgy.
I like how he explained it too. He's like, technically he's never had sex, so might as well go let him experience that for the first time.
Yeah, right.
I was like, okay, touche.
Very kind of him.
But I was watching this episode, and before we get kind of too much into the plot of these last two episodes, I noticed, and I did notice it, and I just don't recall. But there's no hover technology. There's no anti-gravity technology in the show. It looks like everything's thrusters. All the flying cars, their wheels kind of point downwards, and then there's some thrusters kind of keeping them airborne with, what have I been calling it? Sex Cloud City. There's like four giant turbines or thrusters at the bottom or underneath the city, kind of keeping it afloat.
Right.
So it's just weird. You would think someone so advanced, they have space travel, they have colonized several planets within the universe, that there would be more anti-gravity type technology than...
More advanced technology than a helicarrier.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, this is technology with the exception of stacks. I mean, you could probably see most of this in the next 50 years, 100 years, maybe.
Yeah, you really could. That's why I was curious about it. You know, cloning may be the one that be a little bit longer to take, but I don't know. I mean, we already have cloning when it comes to animals today.
Well, yeah, like that good, like 3D printing cloning, like we see in this episode, probably more than 100 years, but... You know, Star Wars cloning, I could probably see that in the next 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but I was just thinking, the way that we have our cloning technology today, you know, if you were just to get the DNA sample and merge it with the same and just grow another human, I'm sure that wouldn't be too far away as well. But then again, you'd have to go through the normal life process of that raising that kid from the beginning. It won't be the 3D printer like the ones they have in the show. I imagine that would be relatively soon.
Yeah, I think so. 3D printing clones and then the floppy disk consciousness. I think those are the two out there things. Everything else is pretty within reach.
Yeah,
I just thought it was interesting. I just thought everything else, there was still some sort of propulsion or some sort of thrust that was needed to get this to get everything airborne.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least there's some like realistic. It's a realistic sci-fi show to where this could actually happen in the future.
Yeah, and that's where one thing, it's like, you know, Star Wars is more of a science fantasy, but we still decided to cover it on this show.
Which another thing that, you know, I was kind of interested about was that I guess if that's the truth, that they only have thrusters, then maybe they don't have like a form of warp technology. So they still have that, you know, the problem when it comes to the space travel.
Yeah, and I think they kind of covered that in the flashback episode in 7, where, you know, there was no, like I said, no light speed, no warp. So they kind of either had to go into a stasis or a hibernation, mm-hmm. or they had to extend the human life. So what do? They made it so that way you could transfer between body to body.
Yep.
And now, even in, I think it's in this episode, because Tok is talking to his sister in the cafe and he's like, I'm going to go have a beach vacation. And then he's needle casting off the planet. So that's just essentially, it's like sending your consciousness to the cloud so you could re-download it elsewhere.
So it's basically a cloud, a form of the cloud. Literally, it's a cloud.
Yeah, literally. Like, you know, you send it up through the satellite. The satellite routes it to a satellite that's, you know, in orbit of whatever planet or has whatever relays, and it relays it to the planet where you want to go, sends it down to a sleeving station. Then you get sleeved into a new stack, or you gets put into a new stack, and then you get sleeved and you're on your merry way.
It's an efficient form of interplanetary transportation. But I mean, I'd still imagine that the signals to transmit that would take forever. Cause I mean, it still has to travel that distance, you know, in Star Trek,
yeah, probably.
They get away with it by using subspace means. And so supposedly, like, using subspace channels, you kind of get around the typical travel of speed.
It's more real time.
Yeah.
Whereas, it doesn't go into detail, so if you were to needle cast off of it, by the time his signal gets to the new planet, is it a couple minutes from now? Is it a couple hours, couple days, couple years?
Yeah, I mean...
A decade?
I don't know.
Nobody knew.
Because, I mean...
Well, we can kind of get it... I'll give you this little hint. You kind of maybe get an idea of it in the first episode of season two.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't seen the first episode yet. I kind of stopped at, you know, after we finished season one, and I started picking up Lucifer again.
Oh, well, season two is next week's episode.
Yeah.
Part of it. But more, we'll talk more about that next week. But, you know, back to these episodes.
Yes. So let's see, what else happened in nine?
Well, I was going to set up the plot because the characters and the writers do a good job at laying out the plot, which is Kovacs was going to go out on his own, and the Elliots and Mackie or Mickey, I can't think of his actual name, I just call him police tech guy, and Poe are kind of like, no, we're going to help you. So then they kind of explain this plan to where they're going to infiltrate Sex Cloud City.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to kind of get within range of his sister so that they can essentially bug her backup and Trojan horse her backup so that they destroy it all.
Right. I think it was the same virus that, you know, I don't remember her name, his ex-girlfriend made, that they were going to use to infect all of the
No, it's not the one his girlfriend made. His girlfriend made a thing where it kind of limited the amount of time a DHF, I think is what it's called, is what how the consciousness is stored. Mm-hmm. It limits that to 100 years, so you can't have a Bancroft living hundreds of years. This was the Rawlings virus, which is what the SeaTac used on the envoys to kind of make them all go psycho and kill each other.
Hmm. So wait, why didn't it have that effect on her then?
Because they didn't. What they did is they made it so that they couldn't bug or infect her stack. It kind of, what happened was it intercepted her stack or her backup transmission and intertwined itself with the transmission of her backup to infect the storage site.
Oh, okay.
Without actually infecting the original file.
Right, so she could finish off her life in that sleep.
Yeah, so that's when they was like, you have one life because we've destroyed your backups and you can no longer back up at this time.
I feel like we jumped ahead, though. Wasn't that episode 10? Or was that the end of episode 9?
That was the end of episode 9. Because the rest of episode 9 is they infiltrate Six Cloud City. Elliot is disguised as a general who... They purchase, what do they call it, the Iridian package, which I guess is you essentially get to murder your own prostitute and do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy because, I mean, she was...
Well, the whole thing's crazy.
She was very graphic about it, too, because I guess she was 19, and it was her original sleeve, so that was her original body. She's not a... You know, an old woman, she's young, and she was talking about, like, you can, you know, whip me, you can burn me, you can stab holes in me and fuck the holes, like, you can do whatever the hell you want to me. It's like,
yeah, and the look on Elliot's face was the same look I had, because I don't remember that the first time I watched it. I was like, are you fucking serious?
I hate to say this, but that it doesn't surprise me that, like, these rich motherfuckers, from what we've seen so far in the show, would be into that.
Oh, yeah, there's some sick people out there.
Because that was something that he talked about with the girl. Like, how often do you see these people who go do this and see him again and talk to him? Like, well, there's a high turnover rate, but we're supposed to get new sleeves. So they could be our, you know, yeah, real killing, your RD, what, I don't remember what they called it, but...
Real death.
Yeah, so, well, then they have, like, an acronym for it or something.
RD?
Yeah, so we'll just stick with the real death. So they could be, you know, real death. No, we'll go with RD. They could be real, damn, they both suck. They could be actually dying and not be knowing it, and it's kind of tragic, because, like...
Well, that's...
Because didn't he kill her, ended up killing her by giving her the drink and...
No, they just...
Well,
dosed her so that she passed out so he could sneak away and carry on the mission.
Well, they talked about, because they were monitoring the channels while he, you know, she was talking about all of this, and they were talking about how she could actually be RDing, and it would be a more merciful means by just simply doing it the way that he did it. Because the whole thing eventually came down, and even if she did not die from the drink, she died when the thing came down.
Yeah, it's a good chance that no one thought to get her off.
No, and I don't think they did, because they kind of just left her in the bed.
Yeah, so that's, I don't know, interesting. Interesting point. But I don't know, I think it was very weird. Even, and I watched this on my lunch break, and I'm glad I didn't eat lunch beforehand, because I was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
But they end up, you know, doing what they need to do. And, you know, they are able to sabotage Ray's backup and get a confession out of her before the Ghost Walker gets a drop on her.
Mm-hmm.
But not before. Like I said, in Ray's confession, she admitted to everything, that she drugged Bancroft with Stallion because she knew he was pissed off coming back from Japan after that meeting. And that when he gets pissed off, he does some pretty crazy shit. And if he got pissed off on Stallion, she was hoping that he could do some really crazy shit so she could blackmail him.
Right.
Which was, you know, Ray was getting these prostitutes and then, without them knowing it, putting fake religious codes in their stack. So that way when they did die, and if the police did find them, you know, they couldn't spin them back up to give their side of the story.
Right.
Which was what 635 legal mumbo jumbo was going on.
Yeah. 653 or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. So, you know, Ray wanted that block. So she essentially blackmailed Lawrence with the help of his wife, and she was able to use him and his influence on the UN to have that derailed.
Right.
And that Bancroft was so at guilt that he actually did kill himself so he could forget what he did.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess the re-sleeve version of him could not believe or fathom that he would kill himself, so he was convinced that, you know, somebody murdered him.
Yeah, thanks to his ego.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hate to say it. You know, we're kind of skipping ahead to 10 here. But, you know...
No, that's all 9.
No, I thought he found out in episode... Well, at the end when...
Oh, well, they tell him, but, right, you know, you get all the information in 9.
Yeah, he finds out. Kovach finds out from Ray in 9.
Yeah, there's more that comes out in 10 in that at the one of the last scenes. But no, this is all... We're still in 9 so far.
Yeah. Well, then we'll stick with, you know, 9, and we'll move to the beginning of 10. And I'll bring that up again when we get towards that part. But... Okay.
Well, there's parts of 9... Like I said, actually, no, that's just about everything we're talking about at 9. Because that episode ends with, I guess, either Ray or someone was able to get alerted of Tok's presence. And so Ghostwalker comes out of VR, and essentially him and probably half a dozen other guards get the drop on Elliot and Kovacs. And that's how episode 9 ends.
Right. And then episode 10 kind of rolls into where it left off. And then I guess they brought out Ortega out of VR, didn't they?
No, they kept her in. The first scene of 10 is actually, it's like Ortega was at the grocery store. And then she comes home, finds her Tio, and then here's the game playing. So she goes into where the Ninos were playing the video game and finds their bodies, and then finds her mom still alive. And then that's when Ghostwalker shows up. They have a brief conversation, and then it finds out that Ghostwalker has just been playing that on a loop over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And wipes her memory every time.
So she gets that
way she's experiencing it over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. And I don't blame her for having a deep hatred of the man. I mean, fuck, she's already tried to kill him, killed the best friend, or her partner, and then kills her family. I mean, like this guy ruined, it's pretty much ruined every aspect of her life.
Yeah, and then as soon as that loop kind of gets broken because Ghost Walker gets pulled out of VR to stop Takeshi, that's when, you know, it jumps to that scene and kind of shit goes down. And this is one episode. After a while, I kind of, like, I stopped taking notes probably after, like, 10 minutes and just watched the episode, and then went back and filled everything in after the episode.
Well,
at least all that I could remember.
I think we skipped a scene in 9, because then they go after, I don't remember if this was 9 or 10, but they went after the, after the Elliots and the tech guy at the hotel.
That was 10.
Was it 10?
It's actually... Yeah, it was the next thing I was bringing up.
Oh, okay, I couldn't remember if it was 9 or 10, but I remember, well, I guess since it was the next thing to bring it up, then I'll go to it. Because the they ended up, what's his name, the Ghost Walker, brings a couple of his guys with them to get Mrs. Elliot? Mr.
Elliot? Yeah, Ava Elliot, and then...
I don't know what you would call him, anyone, since Steve is a guy, and but it's supposed to be a woman, so I don't...
I just Ava Elliot.
All right, well, they capture Ava, ends up RDing the tech guy.
Yeah, because the tech guy, who's a tech guy and not like Ortega, constant, you know, sticks, you know, trains in hand to hand and all that. He tries to grab a gun, and Ghostwalker, you know, puts one through his stack,
mm-hmm.
RDs him, and it's like, well, that wasn't bold, but not smart.
Yep. And then the
especially against a superior force,
right? And then the the AI also gets killed too for the hotel. The Ghost Walker has that dampener that prevents.
Yeah, it's a destabilizer.
Yeah, and he ends up using it to kill the AI. You almost feel bad for the AI.
Yeah, too. Pretty much snaps him.
Yeah, it really does.
It's pretty much Thanos snapped Poe. Mm-hmm. But not before Poe was able to needle cast Lizzie's consciousness to the Sex Cloud City.
Yep.
Which is fascinating because, you know, she gets needle casted into a synthetic synthetic sleeve.
Yeah, which has,
and you see,
like, transformer level technology to where it can shapeshift into whatever she wants.
Yeah, and that was very weird, because I remember seeing, you know, you kind of catch a brief glimpse of that scene. I mean, not that scene, but that, because it's essentially a storage area, and you get a good glimpse of it in 9 when Kovacs has to cut through it so he can run and meet with his sister. And then they were like, I was like, these kind of look like really realistic sex dolls.
Mm-hmm.
Then come to find out that's pretty much what they are. When she needle cast into one, it's pretty much a really realistic sex doll that can transform. Probably scare the living shit out of you.
Probably. But, I mean, that would be the ultimate fantasy, to be able to transform into whatever, you know, the partner would want.
Yeah. So, for people who have trouble...
for rich motherfuckers who are meeting into this kinds of with, shit.
Yeah, rich motherfuckers are people who are lonely and can't or have... kind of awkwardness around ladies. Yeah, I could see that working.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe they're so realistic that it doesn't work. Who knows?
I don't know. I'd imagine after that long, they'd be pretty damn good at making them sex dolls.
Yeah, pretty. They're. I imagine so.
Mm-hmm.
But this episode, I mean, a lot of this episode is fight scenes, and they're pretty good fight scenes. I mean, the sword fight between Takeshi and Rey, which is Joel Kinnaman, and I don't know the actress's name, but that was pretty good.
Yeah.
The fight scene. I mean, the actress who, or whatever double that played Lizzie during those hallway fight scenes, that was dope. And there was a bit of satisfaction when Ortega killed the Ghost Walker. It was like, it's about time.
Well, she didn't really kill him, though. She kind of just ripped the stack out of his sleeve, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. I didn't know if the stack was destroyed or not. If she, like, pulled it out and destroyed it, there's no clarification on that. Maybe he's just, you know, arrested now forever.
It could be. I mean, he was begging, you know, her not to take his life, which, one, fucking coward. Like, dude did it.
I know.
Has probably done it to hundreds of people. It's like, fuck you. Take me, fucking pussy.
especially since he killed her mom, her tio, her I don't remember cousins or nephews in Spanish, but those people, it's, and not just like killed their sleeves, but because they're religious, if the sleeve dies, they can't be spun back up. So, yeah, that bitch, he should have died in a more painful way.
Yeah, well,
but that was pretty great. Oh, that was gnarly how she broke his ankle to get the advantage on him.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of saw something like that happening. Like, she had the advantage with that, like, robotic arm. And I was surprised she didn't really use it until that point. Because she basically just used that robotic arm, grabbed his ankle, and just twisted it to the point where it broke in half.
Yeah, but I think he also had superior reflexes. Because I think Lizzie or Ortega threw a knife at him at some point in this episode, and he's able to dodge it, and it hit one of the other guys. So I think, while she has an arm advantage, he has some sort of superior reflex advantage and agility advantage.
Yeah, well, you can only move your leg so fast, though.
I mean, especially when it's broken. Yeah. But he let his guard down, she took advantage. That's kudos to her. Smart.
Yep. But I mean, I don't know. It was a pretty good finale. Good fight scenes. Interesting takedown. You almost feel bad for him because he got real emotional. You know, they had that fight scene. They were kind of locked in the room, and they went full Mace Windu versus Darth Sidious kind of thing in that room with the broken in Cloud City.
Power!
Pretty much. But he got real emotional after he ended up killing her. But you found out some interesting information that his old girlfriend that Rey supposedly killed is backed up somewhere hidden. Now,
yep.
I don't know if that's true. Or if she kind of just said that as a, hey, I'm about to get...
Hail Mary.
Yeah, I'm about to get killed. I might as well play this card. And maybe I could get out of this shit alive. Or if it's...
Yeah, and he was not having any of it.
No. But I think he believes her. I think he
does, because he says that at the towards the end of the episode.
That he's going to try and go find her.
Yeah, because there's a good narration. Oh, gosh. I got to cut myself off for the night.
Yeah, right.
But there's, because after he, you know, he kills her because he blows out her stack, and now we know all our backups are gone, so she's gone. He's I guess hallucinating Falconer, his old girlfriend and mentor, and she's telling him a story about a princess, and this princess was fighting off armies. And I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. It's a very weird narration until the last scene. When, I guess, the boy, this princess recruits a boy to fight for him, or fight for her. And then the boy thinks the princess died, but it turns out the princess is just missing. So the boy has to set off on a mission to find the princess. And kind of foreshadows, essentially, season two.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean... he's seeing all this in his head, so I mean, he's basically just telling himself this story of what's going on in his head. That, you know, I think that the princess was supposed to be her, and the boy was supposed to be him, and supposed to be a love story that, you know, hopefully in his mind he has a happy ending. So,
yep, in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, right. They ended up bringing down the Sex Cloud City.
Yeah, crashed right into Bespin. Mm-hmm. Oh, wrong planet, sorry.
They brought down the Sex City, and apparently the sleeve died, but they managed to recover the stack. But again, what we talked about earlier, apparently you can't have two stacks or the duplicates of yourself conscious at the same time. So they put them both in VR, and they had to like decide who was going to live and who was going to die, who's going to keep the memories, keep the orgy memories, or keep the memories of his dead sister. I'm a little surprised they didn't go with the orgy. And, you know, I think given the option, would you rather pick remembering you killing your own sister or a massive fucking orgy?
Yeah. Well,
so, but then again, they did do the rock, paper, scissors again, so it was kind of left up to chance.
Yeah, but without the sister memories, he wouldn't have a mission to maybe go find his old girlfriend, his old fling.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's funny, and there's something I didn't remember watching this the first time a few years back, and that was Ortega kind of unpacks all of Riker's stuff at the end of this, because and I missed a very important scene, but oh well. Because now Riker's being taken off the rack, and, you know, once Takeshi returns the sleeve, which I guess Riker's getting the clone sleeve now. He's not getting OG sleeve.
Right.
But is what it is. But, you know, now she's getting ready for Riker to go home. And I was like, it begs the question. I was like, is that cheating since she slept with another person? But technically it was in her boyfriend's body.
Weird.
Weird. She has feelings for two people, but they look the same. I mean, that's, well, I guess twins look the same in a sense, so.
Yeah, but.
It was something that popped in my mind during that scene.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, I kind of thought about that too. Like, is it cheating, or how do they go? Does he just give up the sleeve, and is he going to be put into another sleeve? Is it random? Is he going to buy another sleeve? Like we know he's getting into another sleeve just from, you know, seeing the cover on Netflix of season two and knowing who the new actor is going to be. But they really didn't go into this new resleeving process. You know what I mean? They didn't explain how they were going to give it to Riker, how he's going to get a new one, you know.
Well, it's season two.
I guess we will. I mean, it's already up on Netflix, so we just got to watch it to find out.
Yeah, and here it's one of those things. Yeah, maybe you didn't know when season two wasn't made yet, or didn't even know it was coming out. And you're like, well, what's happening with him? And all we know is that he's probably going to go off world and get into a new sleeve. So there was obviously a new actor going to play him.
Right. Which I thought the actor who played him, I don't know the name of the, I don't remember his name.
Joe Kinnaman.
I thought he did a pretty fantastic job so far in the first season.
Yeah, I liked him. And part of me was like, I wish we saw him in the second season. But part of me was like, well, you know, this is one show where you can recast the main character and it not be a problem.
Yeah. I'm curious to see, maybe that's something that we're going to look at when evaluating season two, is which actor's performance was better in season one or season two and who played the role better.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely something we can tackle for sure.
But I'm curious how they're going to do all of these, you know, all the side roles that they had set up in season one, if they're going to keep any of them. You know, are they going to keep, I don't remember the name, the Eddingtons, what was their name again?
The Elliots.
You know, what are they going to do? Are they pretty much done? Is the lieutenant pretty much written off of the show, and her and Riker going to kind of do their own thing now? Is the story with the corrupt captain done? What about the lawyer? You know, the Bancroft's done, you know.
Those will be answered in season two.
All right. Well, I guess we'll find out in season two then.
Yes. But there's something we got to talk about in season one, episode 10 that we haven't covered. And that was the fascinating scene where Kovacs goes back to Bancroft's house.
Yes. This was the scene we skipped ahead to.
Yeah, we skipped past it, but it's probably the most important scene. So we kind of saved it for last.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fascinating because he goes back there and pretty much tells Bancroft everything that Ray told him in her confession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, you came back from wherever angry, you went to here, you ended up RDing one girl and sleeve deathing another girl, and then felt so bad about it that you went home and blew your brains out. Essentially, there was more to it. I think they told him about his plan where he had to derail whatever 653, so that way religious coding couldn't be spun back up.
Right.
So tells him that, and he's like, gosh, no, you can't, you're shitting me. And he's like, nope. He's like, I thought I had a line I could never cross. And he's like, well, you fucking did.
Yeah.
So that's when Tanaka shows up, and
well, you gotta,
Bancroft goes to turn himself in.
You gotta at least admire him that he went, you know, he cooperated fully. He almost seemed like he felt bad that he crossed that line. And he had, you know, again, he's a rich motherfucker. He killed somebody and he does need to go to jail for that. But at least he had some sense of guilt or morality about it. His wife really didn't, because his wife, what we find out is that Lizzie, that's her name, right? The daughter.
Yeah, you got a name right.
Yeah, it only took to the end of the episode of season one to finally get a name right. But Lizzie
only took 22 episodes.
Yeah, right.
Unless it's Baby Yoda.
The Lizzie was turned out to be killed by the wife because she got pregnant from Bancroft.
Bancroft got her pregnant. And I didn't think it was killed by her wife because I thought what happened, and I think what happened is she beat the living snot out of her, kicked her repeatedly until the baby
was,
you know,
the baby
was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then ring-a-ding-ding, she called up Prescott, the lawyer, who was there to back up her story or corroborate Takeshi telling him that. She was like, she called up Prescott. Prescott called up Ray. Ray took her in as like a worker, as I throw up the air quotes, snuck in some, oh no, didn't sneak a religious coding, took her to the VR place that Takeshi was interrogated at, where he wrecked shop and decapitated the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Took her there, messed her up so bad that it seemed like she was beyond recovery, and then dumped her body in a back alley.
Right, and then, you know, the police wouldn't care about a supposed, air quote, whore or prostitute who just so happens to turn up in the back of an alley.
Yeah, probably OD'd or whatever.
Yeah, so they're not
whatever, so they didn't perform a proper autopsy to discover the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. So she ends up getting...
And that's a bomb. I didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this episode. I was like, oh, I forgot about that part.
Yeah, and the Bancroft seemed pretty shocked, too, that she would go to such
shocked
length.
And pissed.
Yeah.
Because like we said, I mean, it seemed like, and that's even when, was it Takeshi? Yeah, I think it was Takeshi that said, you know, essentially your wife was in on it and she had you drugged, so you crossed the line that you never thought you would cross.
Yeah,
kind of force you to cross the line.
So Kovach kind of fucked her in every way possible, huh?
Yeah, fucked her in the good way, fucked her in the bad way, got his bittersweet revenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm playing the long game, bitch. I'm fucking you all kinds of ways.
Oh, yeah. Yep, good for him.
But yeah, that's pretty much the season, because the final scene is Kovach is kind of walking out of the Raven. And you kind of get that dub over of the story where the boy has to find the princess. And that's kind of what you should expect for season two, because that's how they're leading off on it.
Yep.
He's on a mission to find his lover.
Yep.
Oh. So, Chris.
Steve.
Season one in the bag. Give me your thoughts. What'd you think of it? The tech, the sci-fi, the... Well, let's talk about the story and the world first before we get into the creative and the execution of the episode. So what do you think of this as a sci-fi show? Tech and everything.
It's creative. I give them that. It's definitely an original idea. It takes place in the future. But it really didn't feel too sci-fi-y, because there was a lot of the technology that they have and that they do is not too far advanced from where we are now. Like, they still have chemically fueled projectile weapons. They still have holo technology. They just have it. Or they have holograms and AIs, and it's just a little bit better. They still have, you know, they can do cloning. It's not far from where we are now. The stacks are pretty unique. Space travel is no advance. They have thrusters for their hover cars. They have cities that can fly. Okay. You know, I mean, it's like, it's more like a potential reality, future reality, than necessarily a science fiction show.
That's kind of the basis of a sci-fi show. I mean, with the exception of Star Wars, most of the shows we'll cover will kind of have that, hey, this is a potential future for us. Star Trek, potential future for us if we go one route. Altered Carbon, a potential future for us if it goes another route. So, I could definitely see like a lot of things. One of them being like the contact lens that you put on your eye, and now it's essentially a phone, and you could kind of like an augmented reality or a HUD that Iron Man would use. But in contact lens version. I was like, that's dope. I could use one of those now.
Yeah, well, they already have something similar to that when it comes to glasses, don't they?
Yeah, they do, like, the Google glasses from, like, 10 years ago, but that didn't go well. So,
yeah.
I mean, they need to advance in some of the technology, but we'll get there eventually.
Yep.
But like you said, it felt futuristic but grounded, and you could connect to certain technologies and aspects of the story in the world.
Yep.
So what about the show? How was the show kind of writing, choreography, directorial style, visual effects? How did you like the show from that standpoint? What did you think?
Well, choreography was great. I think casting was really great. The acting was pretty phenomenal. Loved all the nudity, especially since you saw pretty much most of the main characters, or at least the female characters nude, which is always a huge bonus for me. Let's see. I guess for the girls, you know, if they wanted to see the guys, they can, but I didn't really care about that. But
there's some guys naked. There's a little bit for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, straight, gay, bi, whatever you're into. There was something in it. If you're like Chris and kind of have nudity as a, you know, definitely a bonus point of a show.
Yeah, well, I think most people would. You would think, but never know. Let's see. I thought the story was a bit confusing, and it's a very complicated and complex storyline, and if you're not really paying attention to it, and it's not something you're really into.
If you're not sober, it's kind of hard to follow.
I think if you're sober, or drunk, or stoned, whatever, it's still going to be hard to follow. So that kind of lost some points for me because it was just a very complicated storyline, but I mean, it's an interesting storyline, that's for damn sure, and it was very, not only creative, but pretty well written storyline. They had a lot of interconnecting pieces throughout the episodes that you would think may not matter. Like, for example, Bancroft's son trying to impress his father, you know, having the cloning device to be able to make the 3D copy of it, and then them using it a couple episodes later to make a clone for himself to have this plan. You know, I mean, that was pretty creative use of, you know, story writing to be able to piece that together to where it makes sense. So, I mean, there was a lot of bonuses and a few problems with the show. I think,
as there is every show.
Yeah. And I think overall, I would give it a 8.5 out of 10.
What about rewatchability? Could you see yourself sitting down and maybe giving this, watching it again just for the shits and giggles, maybe not for the show?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Because, you know, I missed a lot of stuff the first time watching it, and I feel like it would be better the second time through. And then again, the nudity factor, there's so much of it. It's like, you know, worst case, you get to see a lot of boobs, and there's worse things than being able to watch a good violent show with a decent storyline that's got a lot of boobs. I mean, that's why I watch Spartacus.
Yeah. I know.
So,
I think we're on the same page there. There was some changes from the novel to the small screen, like in the book, Ray's not as, I haven't finished the book. I only got a couple more chapters in because we were recording earlier in the week than we usually do.
Right.
But, like Ray is not his sister in the book. It's pretty much his boss. And if, at least with the envoys, she was his superior. Falconer is not a character at all. He's trained by someone, I think, named Virginia. And then I don't think it kind of goes into the leader of the envoys. What else?
Maybe I think a next step might be to read the book. Maybe I'll read the books,
yeah,
too. Because how long are the books? Are they, you know?
It's 400-ish pages, at least the paperback copy. There's three books. So the first one's Altered Carbon, and the two next ones are, they have different names, but I'm a little more than halfway through the first book, and I just with all the sports going on, I haven't gotten to sit down and watch it because I was watching so much hockey and football lately.
Yeah, but we're starting to wind down on the sports. I mean, we're in the Stanley Cup, and then we're about to get in the NBA championship. Baseball's getting the playoffs, and football's just getting off. So we're gonna be cutting down on the sports soon.
Yeah, but you know, it's one of those. I'll definitely finish the book, but the show was, Like I said, I think it's one of my favorite things on Netflix. Definitely, probably, it's got to be top three in Netflix original wise for me. Rewatchability, I could sit down and I enjoyed watching it the second time versus the first time just as much. And I could probably sit down and watch it again someday.
Well, I'm curious if it's top three, then what's the top, you know, what are the two ahead of it? I'm assuming be like Daredevil, Punisher. You like Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. You think it's going to take over them?
I think Daredevil's my number one show. And then I liked The Ranch for a while. And then this whole thing happened with Danny Masterson and kind of, I mean, it's still up there. I like the first couple seasons of The Ranch. Content wise, you got to exclude what he did as a person. But yeah, that's probably my top two, and then Altered Carbon would probably fall three with another sci-fi show called Lost in Space. That's probably a close third and fourth.
Interesting. All right,
so I like it. Anything else we want to discuss about this first season? So I liked it. I try not to overhype it for you. And it seems like I did a decent job not overselling it, so that's good.
Yeah, that's always good. So, no, I think that's pretty much all I got. You know, let's go with this to finish it. What's one thing that you're kind of looking forward to seeing for season two?
It's been a few months since I've seen season two, so I kind of want to see how the story picks up after season one, and when I know where it picks up, but I don't necessarily remember when. I thought there was a time jump in between, but I don't recall for sure. So I'm just kind of curious to see the continuation of how he gets re-sleeved into someone else and how it picks up from there.
Yeah. That's kind of a similar direction to where I was going with it. I'm curious to see more about the space travel aspect of it, 'cause they were pretty much on Earth the entire time. He's from a different planet, and that was something that kind of caught my eye or caught my ear this episode was, you know, their space technology is not that far advanced, and kind of want to see how that turns out. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, you'll see more of it. Definitely season two does not take place on Earth. So that's about all I'll say about it. So you'll get a little taste of that next time.
All right. Well,
because that leads into that's what we have next time on Deep Space High.
Shall we punch it?
Punch it, we can beat him.
Punch it,
kill it.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it, Huxley.
Punch it.
Punch it. Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
Because we will be covering the first three episodes of season two. We're going to break season two up into three parts. The first three, the second three, and then the last two.
Right.
There's only eight episodes this season.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess.
Yeah. But you could definitely see they spent more money per episode in season two than they did in season one.
Oh, that's weird.
Which is probably why they shortened it.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, they did spend a lot of money in the first season, so it'd be interesting to see how this works.
Oh, yeah, because I was reading something at the time of filming, it was considered one of the biggest per episode budgets in TV, I think. Behind Game of Thrones.
Damn.
So it was considered, and you saw it in the special effects because they looked pretty good for a TV show that came out 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. All right. Well, I guess that will do it for this episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Deep Space High, and be sure to join us next time as we start our conversation about season two of Altered Carbon.
Yes, and don't forget to keep the conversation going with hashtag Deep Space High. And go ahead and check out and follow, like, share, do whatever you kind of want to do on our Facebook page, Deep Space High Sci-Fi TV Reviews, or our Instagram, at Deep Space High Podcast. And if you follow and like either or of those pages, you'll stay up to date with our latest announcements.
Yes, and also you can let us know how we're doing or let us know what you think of the show by leaving a review on Apple Podcast. These reviews, you know, helps us make better content, and we really appreciate the feedback, and we try to give you guys a better listening experience every time. Well, that being said, I am Sky Marshall Chris.
Yes, and I am Jedi Master Steve, and I still haven't thought of anything catchy to say.
We'll eventually figure it out. Maybe something for season 2.